Welcome to In the Studio with a 21st century perspective on history's greatest rock and roll albums. I'm Redbeard, and today in the studio, it's the double album and tour film with Joe Cocker called Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Most of the songs like Cry Me a River and The Letter were great. Leon, you know, came up with those brilliant arrangements. Well, you know, I mean, when we put it together, I mean, Leon's idea was, I mean, it was all a big family. There were like 40 of us on the road. But then, I don't know, I mean, egos got in the way as we travelled down the line. And I felt an awful lot of pressure because, I mean, you remember it was Joe Cocker and Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Sure.
This is Joe Cocker in the studio for the anniversary of Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Thanks indeed.
The story of the 1970 Joe Cocker American Tour that became a double live album and a movie, both called Mad Dogs and Englishmen, really has to start a year earlier with the then unknown in America, Joe Cocker, from Sheffield, Yorkshire, England. With only a single album out in the summer of 1969, playing to 300,000 at the Woodstock Festival in upstate New York, Joe Cocker's performance was quite the coming out party. Just the mention of Woodstock brings back a rush of memories for Joe Cocker.
I mean, it's indented in my mind. I mean, just talking to you, I can feel it just as if I was up there.
You know, well, many of us, particularly here in the States, saw you for the very first time in the Woodstock film. Now, other than the Jimi Hendrix footage, your performance of With a Little Help from My Friends at Woodstock is possibly the most memorable moment in 3 days worth of superstar performances. And you were just a rookie.
I didn't find out till later. I was the only guy in the band who wasn't on LSD. Because I flew in on a separate helicopter to the band, and I thought they were all looking a bit hot, you know, a bit frisky up there.
They'd all gotten...
So I think that's why I was so energized, was I was having to sort of catch up with them, you know, in the spirit of things.
Without any chemical assistance.
Yes, really. Well, I'm not dead, I swear to God.
Yeah. What happened when you took that stage show to the all-important U.S. television TV show, Ed Sullivan Show?
Well, that was it was all, you know, such an adventure then. And I remember going to an audition for the Ed Sullivan Show. And, literally an audition at a little office, and the producer was sat there. I had a backing track of Little Help, you know. Not Little Help, a Feeling All Right. The song, Dave Mason tune.
Yeah.
And so the guy, you know, he's just like, Mr. Producer, goes, okay, come on. You know, I'm almost like being on American Idol or something. I'm stood on the end of this rug. And I sang the first four notes with such volume that, I mean, the guy almost fell off his chair and said, you've got it, you've got it, you know. I think it was just frightened him to death. But when we actually did the show, it was a bit like, you remember when Elvis, they wouldn't shoot him from the waist down. But with me, with my arm movements, I mean, I didn't realize it, but when people were saying that they thought I looked spastic or whatever.
You were.
So they surrounded me. They surrounded me with all these pretty chicks to try and deflect from it, I guess.
What, like dancers and stuff, right?
Yeah, if you see the footage, it's, I'm surrounded by all these dancing pretty girls.
And this was supposed to save us from your arms?
Yeah. Which is, now people realize I'm just impersonating the keyboard or the air guitar, you know.
Wow.
But then they found it a bit risque.
Seems I've got the hand, a tale to sing. Several at the hand.
I've got to leave forever.
Stop something.
What's all out the door?
You never know.
That's Joe Cocker with Dave Mason's Feeling All Right from the 1970 double live album and tour film Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
In the Encyclopedia of Rock and Roll, a guy named Irwin Stambler, he writes that on your second album, and I'm going to quote this, it contained two songs written specially for Cocker by members of the Beatles. Is that accurate?
No. I mean, they weren't actually written for me, but we did actually release that album before Abbey Road, which had on it She Came In Through the Bathroom Window and Something in the Way She Moves. Because I got an invite to down to Apple Records one day. And you got, you know, Beard. I mean, back then, they really were, you know, when you were living in London, they really were rock royalty, the Beatles.
I can imagine. You know,
So to get this, like, you know, I'm like, they want to see you, Joe. It was like, you know, oh, my God. And I go down there, and Paul, he just came and sat at this upright piano, and I never forget, because he played me Golden Slumbers.
Oh, he played it for you right there.
Yeah, I mean, just off the bat, and I'm going, wow, I love this song. I'm sure I can do something with this. And then as he finished it, he said, but you can't have that. And he immediately went, boom, and he sang She Came In Through the Bathroom Window. And he said, but you can have that. And
no. I said, well,
you know, I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I said, sure, I'll take that. And then after he left, George came strolling in. And George played me more than one song. I mean, I turned down a couple of songs he offered me.
You turned them down?
Do you remember Old Brown Shoe?
Sure.
Yeah, he said, and I said, I don't think I could deal with that one. Now, of course, now looking back, I should have done them all.
She came in through the bathroom window. Just knew what I could not say.
Russell on lead guitar. That's Paul McCartney. She Came In Through the Bathroom Window by Joe Cocker from Mad Dogs and Englishmen. Leon Russell, born Claude Russell Bridges in Lawton, Oklahoma, was a teenage prodigy in Tulsa, playing behind Ronnie Hawkins and Jerry Lee Lewis before landing in Los Angeles, becoming a hot session player and arranger on everything from Ike and Tina Turner's River Deep Mountain High to The Byrds' Mr. Tambourine Man, also sessions with Herb Alpert and Frank Sinatra. I asked Joe Cocker about the Leon Russell connection.
How and when did you meet Leon Russell?
That came about via Denny Cordell. You know, again, Denny, a wonderful producer, is dead now. And there was a record by a band called Delaney and Bonnie, a duet.
Sure.
Do you remember?
Sure, with Eric Clapton.
And Bonnie Bramlett.
Yeah, sure.
And Leon was all over that record. I mean, you know, and I heard it and I was stunned by how brilliant he was. And I was talking to Denny and I said, God, I'd love to work with that guy. And Denny got in touch with him. I flew over to L.A. Leon was always a bit distant, you know, and he just said, well, if you want this, I'll only do it if you let me put the band together. And I said, okay. Because my original idea, I just wanted a small band. I wanted Chris Staton to carry on playing bass and, for Leon to come in and play the piano. But instead, he brought in Bobby Keys and Jim Price, who had been working with Delaney and Bonnie, these horn players, and a whole bunch of other great musicians, you know. But that was the thing, and we only had like about 20 days to put that tour together.
No.
To work such a miracle, Joe Cocker needed the Paul Schaefer of 1970, a multi-instrumentalist who knew all of the best musicians and who could convince them to follow this young Englishman Cocker at the drop of a top hat. And that was Leon Russell, who attributes his thumping, propulsive piano playing style to a disability that he had to overcome.
I was born with what they call spastic paralysis, which in today's medicine they call cerebral palsy, which caused a paralysis on my right side and very limited neurological connection. So I really had to devise ways to play that I could get around that sort of limitation. I kind of play a little bit of a thing with my left hand. It's like maybe almost like a Chet Atkins or Merle Travis. It's just a octave thing. I don't know. I mean, people use it a different way, especially in pop music. It's hard to say that one does a particular thing and the other does something else. But the way I use mine is I have some sort of bass things that I use with my left hand and then use the right hand for more like rhythmic horn-like parts. I'm a left-handed piano player for sure.
Thanks indeed.
Wow, originally a slow, smoky torch ballad for Julie London in 1955, Cry Me a River was totally transformed by Leon Russell's arrangement to the rollicking call-and-response rocker by Joe Cocker from the Mad Dogs and Englishmen 1970 double live album. Next, Joe shares the inspiration for his first hit, which became the theme for the entire tour, with a little help from my friend. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, and for more of these of your favorite interviews, visit inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Joe Cocker and Leon Russell for Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Hi, this is Joe Cocker in the studio for the anniversary of Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Welcome back. In the studio, I'm Redbeard. No singer has emulated the great Ray Charles more than Joe Cocker.
At what age and how did you find your voice as a singer?
To actually develop a style took a long time. I mean, my first influence is, you might never hear it as a singer, but I used to try and sing like Buddy Holly. I was a big Gene Vincent fan. I tried to sing like Gene Vincent, and I never could quite hit, you know, he had a higher range than I did. But when, when Ray came along, I like so many artists, we'd all try and copy Ray's phrasing down to the T. But it was, I would say it wasn't till I made Little Help for My Friends. I mean, I had a few records out, I had a couple of singles out before then, that you can kind of tell I was, you know, not quite at ease with what I was doing. But I think about when Little Help came out was when I finally, I think, you could, you know, even though the influence was there, you can tell it was like my own thing.
If I lived 1,000 lifetimes, I could never have imagined your arrangement and your reading of that song after hearing Ringo's original.
Yeah.
How did you choose it, and who helped you transform it into something else entirely?
Well, again, you know, back to Ray. Ray did a lot, so many of those 3-4 waltzes, you know, Carry Me Back to Old Virginny. He turned a lot of gospel songs into pop songs that way. And so I was kind of following through, and I did a version of Bye Bye Blackbird.
Yes.
Which was like the pilot, if you think about it, to With a Little Help. It was, you know, the idea of having the girl chorus repeating. And I was looking for a song more update, that I could do a, you know, that kind of big dramatic change on. And, I mean, this has obviously not got to you, Beer, but it's well known in England that I was sat, you know, I lived in a semi-detached house in Sheffield, and we had an outdoor toilet, you know. And I was just sat there, and this flash came, you know. I kind of conceived the whole arrangement with my trousers by my knees. all came to me in about 3 minutes, and then when I got with Chris Stainton, you know, we had a guy, Tommy Eyre, who played keyboards, who put that, you know, he was into Bartok at the time, so he came up with that big intro on the organ, you know, that let it all in, and the other stuff kind of just fell into place, you know, the chorus. And the scream just came out accidentally with me being bottling up all this excitement. And, you know, I didn't intend to do that, but I forgot the words and just let out this, and of course, that became like a permanent feature of the song, too.
Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. will try not to sing out of key. Oh, baby, I am mine. Oh, my name is my brother. Then I'm going out with my friend. I'm gonna keep trying and trying. What do I do when my love is away?
Does it worry you to be alone?
No, no. How do I feel at the end of the day?
Are you sad because you're on your own?
Oh, they say,
call
your mind and my friend. Go highway. And I'm gonna love it, boy.
Then I got my friends again.
Amazing, barely recognizable as the same song that Ringo Starr sang on Sgt. Pepper, that's Joe Cocker from the Mad Dogs and Englishmen Tour 1970. Up next, Leon Russell explains just why Englishman Joe Cocker needed American Leon Russell to put together an all-American band in less than 3 weeks. For this and your other favorite rock star interviews, visit InTheStudio.net and follow In The Studio on Facebook. I'm Redbeard. In the studio for Joe Cocker's Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Hi, this is Joe Cocker in the studio for the anniversary of Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Welcome back in the studio. Cocker had his Grease band from England tour the U.S. with him a year earlier, including at Woodstock. But this time, only keyboard player Chris Stanton was available. Leon Russell explains.
For one reason or other, Joe had fired his band in England. He had 50 shows booked in the United States, and he was going to cancel them because he didn't feel like doing it for some reason. And the musicians' union told him they wouldn't let him play in the United States again if he didn't play those shows. So suddenly he was over here without a band, and he had to do the shows on very short notice. And so he asked me to put the band together for him. My theory was that it could be recorded and filmed, and used the actual income of the tour to make the movie, which would be a larger event actually than the tour, which is pretty much what happened. Partially it was based on the Woodstock film, but I mean, it's obvious that films have a far-reaching effect for longer periods of time than a single concert or even a series of concerts. What happened in this case, Joe asked me my thoughts on it, and I ran it down in about 10 minutes, what could be done, what type of film crews. I requested news crews because it was documentary and it needed to be shot all the time, and it really needed to have some guys that were ready to shoot whatever came up. About a day or perhaps two later, there was two news crews standing there, and a plane was chartered, and it was all set up. Somebody did all that stuff that I said. And when we went down to start the rehearsals at the soundstage at A&M, we were making sort of potato salad in huge garbage cans because we didn't know really how many people were going to be there. It lasted about 4 days, perhaps five. And each day it sort of grew exponentially. When we first went down there, it was just all the people that I invited. The second day, it was twice that many, and probably twice that many again each day following. The last day we got there, there was 400 people there probably.
People of the country, now I find you. that Tennessee is lacking. I'm so glad I'm going to
Joe Cocker singing Leon Russell's Delta Lady, which everybody believes was inspired by backup singer Rita Coolidge on the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour.
Leon Russell,
In the tour film, now on DVD, it's amusing to watch Cocker's expression go from surprise to annoyed as Leon Russell continues to milk the crowd by repeating the refrain.
Most of the songs like Cry Me a River and The Letter were great. Leon, you know, came up with those brilliant arrangements. And we did some songs from Matthew Moore, Space Captain.
Right.
And his brother Daniel, you know.
Those of us who remember the film, it was one of the best.
It was ahead of its time in ways that it used like a three-screen format.
Right.
You know, at the same time. No
right.
one had ever done that before.
I asked Leon Russell how important the Mad Dogs and Englishmen album and movie were to Leon's subsequent solo career.
Well, I think it's very important. It suddenly catapulted me up into public view. I suppose we actually did those 50 dates that he had booked, and I believe most of them sold out, and it was quite a popular event. It got a lot of press coverage, and of course, I mean, just the logistics of it are pretty amazing. At one point, we had 45 people on the road, which at that time was quite a lot of folks. Just to arrive, for example, at the George Washington Hotel in Manhattan with 45 people, and the elevators out looked like Bangkok. We had rooms on the 20th and 30th, perhaps 40th floors that we had to walk up to carrying all of our bags because the elevators were out. And there's a lot of nonsense like that that happened. But, I mean, those things pretty much are news events on their own. You know, people spilling out into the streets in Manhattan, somebody's going to film that stuff, and they did, I think.
Writing in AllMusic.com, Bruce Etter points out that it all exacted a toll on Joe Cocker, stating, and I quote, "The tour all but wiped out Joe Cocker on a psychic level, and his own contribution was so muted by Leon Russell's work as arranger and bandleader that Joe may well have been the victim of a hijacking of sorts. But the musical results are difficult to argue about," end quote. Joe Cocker rightfully gets the last word in the studio.
Well, you know, I mean, when we put it together, I mean, Leon's idea was, I mean, it was all a big family. There were like 40 of us on the road, counting the choir and people who associated with everything, you know. And we'd have these little, before we went out and performed each night, we'd have these little, will the circle be unbroken? You know, we'd all get in a big group and shake hands. I mean, you know, like a big circle. And and it started off very much that way, you know, as a thing. But then, I don't know, I mean, egos got in the way as we traveled down the line. And I felt an awful lot of pressure because, I mean, you remember it was Joe Cocker and Mad Dogs and Englishmen.
Sure.
You know? And I seemed to be handling all the press. Every day I was always, you know, given that role. I mean, because we were in the age of cool, if you remember. So people didn't like doing too much press at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always felt like I got lumbered with a lot of this stuff I didn't really want. And I don't know what it was. I mean, I had this thing. I've always been heavy, you know, but I've always had a weight problem.
I never really realized that.
Oh, yes, yeah. But anyway, it was a thing that, you know, I would skip a lot of, I didn't eat a lot on that tour, and I got skinnier and skinnier. And I ended up weighing about 150 pounds, I think, at the end.
Wow.
Which was pretty thin, you know.
Yeah.
For me. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't feeling great. And I've never pointed a finger of blame of anyone really saying, I mean, it was just one of those things. I just kind of lost control.
You're a check out for an aeroplane. I ain't got time to tell no faster. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Oh, my baby, she wrote me a letter. I don't care how much I got to scan.
I'm coming home. Oh, baby, to old Maryland.
Cocker's interpretation of the Box Tops' The Letter, arranged brilliantly by Leon Russell, with trumpet solo by Jim Price and sax solo by Bobby Keys.